Welcome to another broadcast from LifePoint Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen. Please stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast to learn how God can use you to impact the lives of people around the world. And now, here's today's message.
Well, this is the second to the last Sunday in our family series, and I really pray that God has used something along the way to touch your life. The first Sunday in this series, we started at a point that I felt was very critical to begin at. We talked about dealing with your past and how if you and I try to build a family on a shaky foundation of bringing baggage from our past, which we all carry and we all have to deal with, but if we don't deal with that, our house is always going to be crooked. Our family's always going to be dealing with problems from years gone by that we've never taken the time to settle and to bring to the cross. The next week, we focused on husbands and had some interesting things to say to the men on that Sunday. Last week, we talked to the ladies and had some interesting things to say last week. I'm so glad to see you back today. I wasn't sure if that was just going to clear the church out and we'd have to start again or what. But last week we talked to the ladies. And this morning we're going to do part two for the ladies. That's a bad joke. You know I would never do that unless I was planning on leaving town. Today is actually, we tried to work this out where it would kind of fit in really well. Today is the break between the eight-week sessions of the Kids Elevate curriculum. And so they're here in the service with us today. And we're going to take some time to talk to the boys and girls this morning and to the teenagers, to middle schoolers, high schoolers, and just spend some time with them today. And we're so glad you guys are in the service this morning. And I bet you can show your mom and dad how to listen today. I bet they can learn something from you. But I also want to say the message this morning is not just for the kids. We're going to talk about some important life principles this morning that if you and I will truly get hold of these and let them get hold of us, it can change the course of our future entirely. Boys and girls, I want you to know this morning, I don't know if anybody has ever told you this, but I want to tell you today that God wants to do great things through your life. You're not here by accident. Now, we could argue that point because I was an unexpected child. I remember my mom, this wasn't too long ago, this has been within the last 10 years, my mom was talking to some friends one day, and some of her friends, and I was there in the room listening, and she said, yeah, we were on the mission field, and we already had three children, and I'll never forget the day I went to the doctor and found out I was pregnant with Phil, and I was so sad I cried all the way home. I was like, wow, really? Thanks. She didn't mean it that way at all. She said, no, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. That's not what I meant. It's just we were overwhelmed, and I'm like, no, it's okay. I was an unwanted child. But, and I know a lot of you might say, yeah, you definitely were a mistake. You were an accident. But even if we were an unplanned child, listen, we're not unplanned in God's plan. And boys and girls, teenagers, I want you to know that God truly wants to do great things through your life. Now, that doesn't mean you have to become famous. It just means that whatever path you choose to follow in life, whatever dreams God puts inside of you to become whatever you want to become in life, you follow those dreams with all of your heart. And wherever they take you, you need to remember whatever you end up doing in life, God wants to use you there to impact the world for Him. He does. But how do you make sure as you grow up that you're going to live a life that God can use that will impact others around you? I mean, is it just by luck? Does it just happen to some people because they're lucky and it doesn't happen to others? And I want you to know that it's not that way. There are certain steps, there are certain rules and principles that God has put in place for us to follow. And if we choose to follow those steps, we'll grow up to enjoy the benefits and the blessings that God has promised. If we choose to ignore those steps, we'll suffer the consequences. And here's the thing that we need to understand. These rules of life that God has put in place, they're true whether we believe them or not. If a person says, you know what, I don't believe the Bible, I don't believe all that stuff y'all teach on Sunday mornings, that's fine for you, but that doesn't apply to me. Here's the thing we need to understand. God created the universe, and everything in the universe is subject to His principles, whether they believe those principles or not. God has put certain laws and principles in place in the physical world, and He's done the same thing in the spiritual world. The law of gravity is a good example. I've told you this before. If you choose to say, you know what, I don't believe in the law of gravity, that's my right. I don't believe that that's true. Well, you can not believe it all you want. But if you walk up to the top of a 50-story building and step over the edge, you're not going to break the law of gravity, you're going to illustrate it as you plummet to the ground. And all the way down the ground to the ground, you can be saying, I don't believe in the law of gravity, but guess what? The law of gravity is still in command of your life. And you are subject to the benefits of the law of gravity, that you don't just go floating off into space every day, but you're also subject to the consequences of the law of gravity. And the same is true in the spiritual realm. God has put some laws, and I kind of don't like that word because when we hear that, we immediately want to run the other way and go, well, that's a bad thing, laws. But God has put guidelines and principles in place for each of us to follow, to help us. And one of the names that the Bible uses when it talks about these laws is it calls them the law of the harvest. I know that that sounds like something for farmers only, but here's the cool thing. God has taken this very simple principle, these very simple laws that we see in effect every day of our lives when we see things growing, when we see things dying. The law of the harvest, He's taken that very simple everyday thing and He's used it as a simple way to illustrate life for us and how choices and consequences impact our lives. He talks about this in many places throughout the Bible. Jesus mentioned it often. But here's one place, just one section of Scripture that I want to share with you this morning as we spend a few minutes looking at the law of the harvest. Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 7, says this, "Do not be deceived." You know what that literally means? Don't kid yourself. Don't fool yourself. Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Now that's kind of an old word. It doesn't just mean making fun of God and teasing Him and calling Him names. It means God can't be fooled. You can't pull a fast one on God. He won't be mocked. What He has said will happen. Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man, also a woman, also a boy or a girl, a man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please the sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, capital S, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Verse 9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Now, I know that these verses are talking about salvation and eternal life, but these verses are also talking about day-to-day principles that will guide your life, as I said a minute ago, either into the promise of God and the benefits that He promises, or into a life that is very, very difficult to live. Three simple things that I take from the law of the harvest as I look at this section, as I look at what Jesus said about it in the Gospels. Three simple things I want to share with you boys and girls and teenagers, especially this morning. But as I said, adults, listen up. This is for us as well. The first thing that we need to know about the law of the harvest is this. You always reap the same thing you sow. You always reap the same thing you sow. Hey, kids, let me ask you something. When a farmer goes out and plants tomato seeds, what do you think's going to grow? Let me guess. Green beans. Pumpkins. What's going to grow if he plants tomato seeds? Tomato plants. If he plants squash, I don't know who would want to plant that. But if he, fried squash is okay, but man, boiled squash just gives me the heebie-jeebies. I don't know what it is. Boiled okra, too. That's just wicked stuff.
Boiled,
no, fried okra, not so bad. Boiled okra, it's just like a slug sliding down your throat or something. It's awful. Everybody awake now? All right. Hey, we know that if you plant tulip bulbs, you're going to get tulips. If you plant watermelon seeds, you're going to get watermelon. We're not surprised when that happens in the natural world. Why is it, though, that we have a difficult time taking that same principle and understanding that those same laws apply in your life and in mine when it comes to living out our lives? So many people think they can violate the laws, the principles that God has put in place, and never pay a price for it. They think they can go out and they can live however they want to live during the week, and then come to a church service on Sunday, and God's going to bless them, and they're going to be close to God, because they think they can sow one thing, and they're going to reap something else. But we've got to understand how simple this principle is. This verse says, you reap what you sow, not something else. One of the laws that will help boys and girls, help you so much as you go through life, is understanding that as you go through life planting stuff, and I don't mean literally planting things in the ground, but as you go through life planting choices and actions and decisions and directions in your life, one day it will be harvest time. And all of us are going to reap what we've been sowing, what we've been planting. It's not that God is a mean God. It's not that God is looking around all the time in the world going, who can I punish today for what they've done? That's not God at all. It's just simply the natural outcome of the choices we make along the way in life are going to spring up. There are choices and there are consequences. This is a principle of life. We think sometimes that we can make choices and that there won't be consequences. Somehow we think, well, maybe I've just kind of slid under the radar. But we realize that we're breaking one of God's laws, and we can no more do that than we can break the law of gravity. There are natural consequences for everything we choose in life. I've seen this firsthand in the lives of so many people. I've seen it in my own life. Now, is God gracious? Does God forgive us for the wrong choices we've made? Of course He does. Thank you, Lord, for that. We'd all be in a mess today if He didn't. God forgives us for all of our sin, the Bible says, if we ask Him to. But the problem is, so often we use that as a loophole. And we think, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to live my life however I want to live. Doesn't matter what my parents have taught me. Doesn't matter what Pastor Phil has said on Sunday. I'm going to live my life however I want to live. And maybe when I'm 30 or 40 or 50, what I'll do is I'll come running back to God and I'll ask Him to forgive all those years that I lived for myself and ignored His principles, and then everything will be fine. Here's what we need to know. Will God forgive you 20 or 30 or 40 years from now? Of course He will. But as you look back over your life, boys and girls, you're going to see the wreckage of bad choices scattered along the way, and there will be consequences. My oldest brother, David, grew up in the same house I grew up in, with the same parents, being loved the same way, hearing the same truth, having the same opportunities. And I love him, and I don't at all say this in any condescending way, but just to illustrate the reality of this point and how close it can hit to home. When David was young, boys and girls, your age, he just decided, I'm going to do my own thing. I don't have to obey my parents. That's not that big of a deal. I don't have to follow God's principles in life. And as the years have gone on, now David is a man in his early 50s, and I'm telling you, his life is in ruins today. Ruins. Why? Because he was unlucky? No. Because he violated the law of the harvest. I'm going to sow my wild oats, and then when the time comes, I'll pray for God to give me a good harvest. You see, you reap what you sow. About a year and a half ago, a couple of the elders and I went to meet with a pastor of a very large church here in Greenville. We were sitting at lunch. We'd been there about an hour, and we'd never seen him before, never met him. And towards the end of the lunch, he goes, Phil Pike, missionary in Africa. He goes, are you related to David Pike? I said, yeah, he's my brother. You remember this guy? He said, he threatened to kill me. I was like, waiter, check please. I mean, talk about an awkward moment. Yeah. Now that pastor and I have since gone on to be good friends, and we talk all the time, and he's a great guy. He was very gracious about all of that. But boys and girls, I want you to understand, that didn't happen overnight. He didn't get to where he was just by being unlucky and getting a bad hand in life. He got there because he began when he was young to violate the principles that God had put in place. And now he's reaping the harvest. Can I just say this to you very quickly as we move on to the next point? Adults, this is for you too. If you don't like the harvest you're getting, change what you're planting. I can't say it any simpler than that. It's just that simple. If you don't like the harvest you're getting, for goodness sake, change what you're planting. Because the law of the harvest says if you keep planting the same stuff, you're going to keep harvesting the same stuff. Some people think the law of the harvest doesn't apply to them because they don't see any bad effects of the way they're living right now. But that's only because they don't understand the second law of the harvest, which is you not only reap the same thing you sow, but you reap it later. You reap it later. No farmer plants corn on a Friday afternoon and wakes up early on Saturday morning and rushes out to the fields to pick his corn. You know why? Because he knows that you plant in one season, but you harvest in another season. He knows that what he plants today, he's going to have to wait a while before it's ready to be harvested. How many of us understand that same principle in our own lives? We usually don't see immediate effects from the choices that we make along the way. And so we think those choices don't affect us. Can I illustrate it this way, boys and girls, for you? Have your mom and dad ever told you to floss your teeth? That it's important to floss your teeth? And you're like, oh man, I hate doing that. It's such a pain and it's not doing anything anyway. And then you go to the dentist and you're in the chair and he's looking in your mouth and he goes, you've been flossing your teeth? And you're like, yes, sir. You haven't been. You know you haven't been. But then he tells you again, hey, it's really important that you floss your teeth. And you go 1 week without flossing your teeth, and you look at your teeth, and you go, there's nothing wrong with them. And you go a month without flossing your teeth, and 2 months, and 6 months, and a year, and you go, see there? They don't know what they're talking about. They said it was important that I floss my teeth, and if I don't, my teeth are going to get rotten, but my teeth are just fine. What you don't realize is, it takes time for your teeth to rot. And if you don't floss your teeth, you're not going to wake up the next morning and see your teeth falling out. Everything's going to look just fine. And so you'll think, well, they told me a lie. I don't have to floss my teeth. They're just fine. But at some point down the road, a couple years down the road, you're going to go to the dentist and you're going to get some bad news. Because he's going to go, whew, I hate to tell you this, but we got to do a lot of drilling. You got to get a lot of shots. You got a lot of work that needs to be done. Because you skipped a simple step along the way, and you didn't see immediate problems. We do the same thing when it comes to obeying or disobeying what God has asked us to do. When we disobey him, we say, ha, nothing happened. We disobey God and we wake up the next morning and we say, look at me. I'm fine. It didn't affect me at all. Life is great. And we forget that we plant in one season and we harvest in another. And the choices that we make today, we're going to be harvesting the consequences or the fruit, the benefits of those choices later on in life. Children, I want to tell you that the choices you're making in your life right now will affect you later on, positively or negatively. And that's a great thing about this topic, is it's not all negative. This is actually a promise from God rather than a mean rule that he's put on us. That he said, if you follow these things in your life, man, I'm telling you, the blessings that you're going to receive later on, the harvest that you're going to get will be phenomenal. But you need to know, boys and girls, the friends that you choose today, that's a choice. And you may not see the results of that choice right now, but somewhere down the road, when that friend or those group of friends begin pulling you in the wrong direction, you're going to start to see the consequences of your choices. The decision to cheat on a test in school, because you studied hard and you're mad that you can't remember that answer. And I mean, after all, you deserve it because you did study. And so just glancing over at the kid's paper beside you, just to get that one answer, just to pull your grade up just a little bit. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, is there? I mean, it's just a small choice. Problem is, those decisions may not affect you negatively now, but they will later on. When you grow up and you're in the business world or you're in a marriage or whatever, and you go, I'm just going to cheat a little bit on this. It's not that big of a deal. Hebrews 4:13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. You remember Joseph's brothers hated him, and they sold him to some slave traders who took him off to Egypt. And they killed an animal, and they poured that animal's blood on Joseph's coat, and they took it back to his dad and said, a wild animal killed Joseph. And they thought, whew, we got away with that one. What they didn't realize is, you plant in one season, you're going to harvest in another. A lot of years went by, and they thought, man, we got away with this one. Until one day, many years later, they were standing before the second most powerful man in Egypt, bowing down before him, begging him for mercy, and they looked up and realized it was their brother Joseph. I just want to encourage you today to remember this second principle. Not only do you reap the same thing you sow, but you'll reap it later. I want to finish very quickly with the third point, and that is that you reap more than you sow. How many seeds are in an apple? You can go home and count today. There's a few seeds in there. But here's a better question. How many apples are in a seed? You plant one apple seed, and years from now, a tree will grow, and it will mature, and over the course of its lifetime, through all the seasons, it will produce hundreds of apples. Each of those apples containing numerous seeds, each of those seeds with the ability to produce hundreds of apples. And from one tiny seed, over time, thousands and thousands and thousands of apples can grow from one simple seed. And too often we catch ourselves in life going, this is just a little sin. It's just almost gray. I mean, it's not even black and white. It's just a little thing. We need to remember the law of the harvest that says you always reap more than you sow. You always do. Hosea 8:7 says, they have sown to the wind, but they shall reap the whirlwind. Because you always reap more than you sow. I heard this one time. It really made sense to me. It says, sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, and you reap a destiny. It begins with small things. It begins with small choices today. I love this old saying. It says, first we make our habits, and then our habits make us. How many of us adults could testify to how true that is? It begins with a small thing. But I want you to know, as we close today, the same is true for good things. Remember, I started the message by telling you God wants to do great things through your life. And these principles that we've taken just a few minutes this morning to talk about, they may seem like all negative and God's down on me and He doesn't want me to have any fun in life. But you need to know that God wants to do great things through your life, and in order for that to happen, He has to have guidelines in place to keep us moving in the right direction. When my kids were little and they were playing in the driveway on their tricycles, so many times I would look up and they would be barreling down the driveway headed for the road with no thought at all that cars come flying by there. And I would run down the driveway yelling their name, stop, stop, and I'd grab them at the last minute and pull them back as a car would go by. And my kids could have looked at me and go, you're so mean. Why are you stopping me from having fun? I go, no, I'm saving your life. I'm giving you life by giving you these guidelines to live within. And God does the same thing for us. He gives us these principles so that when we follow them later on in life, we'll look back and we'll go, God, thank you for those guidelines in my life. Thank you for commanding me to obey my parents when I was young, because now I'm an adult and I don't have any problem obeying my boss. I look back and I see times that I've talked with people and you see patterns in their life, and they just go, you know, I don't understand how my life got this way. I don't understand just the bad luck I have. But you look at the choices they've made along the way, and it adds up, just like 2 and 2 equals 4. The same is true with people you look at, and you just see God moving through their life and using them in great ways. It didn't happen by chance. It's the fact that they chose to live within God's boundaries, and He blessed them for it. I want you to know, boys and girls and teenagers, that you don't have to, as I said, become famous in order for God to use your life. God specializes in taking small acts of obedience and multiplying them and using them in great ways to touch the lives of other people. I read in a book one time a story about a little girl who in Philadelphia was sitting on the sidewalk outside the church building, the Sunday school building, crying because she had just been turned away. There was no room. The place was packed to overflowing. And the pastor, who was walking from one building to the next, came by and happened to see her, and she was dressed in very shabby clothes and she was very dirty. And he went over to her and started talking to her and asked her what was wrong. And she explained to him, and he said, well, come on, let me see what I can do. And he held her hand, and he took her inside the building, and they worked their way in, and he found a spot for her to go in there. And over the next few weeks and months, he befriended her and always made sure he looked for her on Sunday to help her feel comfortable. And he found out a little more about her and her family, and her name was Hattie Mae Wyatt. That's not a name you would hear now, right? This was a turn-of-the-century story, Hattie Mae. There's a name suggestion for those of you who are pregnant. And if somebody in your family is named Hattie Mae, I really apologize for that. It's not a name I ever hear. But she would come to Sunday school, and nobody really paid much attention to her except for the pastor. And about 2 years later, the pastor received news that the little girl had been found dead near the old rundown apartment house that her and her family lived in. And he went to talk to the family, and they asked him if he would do the funeral. And the mother went to the back room and came out with one of those little girls' pocketbooks, little purse, red purse, and it was cracked, it was dirty, it looked like it had been found in a dumpster. And she handed it to the pastor, and she said, Hattie Mae was saving her money to help buy a bigger building for the church so that no boys and girls would have to be turned away. And this is a true story. He opened the purse and they counted the loose change, and there was 57 cents inside. She had been saving for almost 2 years. And they gave it to the pastor. The pastor knew that the church had serious space problems and they really needed to move forward and do something. So he one Sunday took this purse up in front of the congregation and he shared the story of this little girl who had nothing. And yet she saved this 57 cents by faith, believing that God could do something more, that He could bring out about a greater harvest through her little act of faith. And this story so impacted the congregation. There was a fairly wealthy realtor in the congregation who heard this. And he had a parcel of land that was an ideal spot for a new church facility. And he came to the pastor and said, I'd like to sell this spot to the church. And the pastor said, We don't have the money to do that. God began working in his heart, and he came back to the pastor and said, you know what, I would like to sell this property to the church, but I'd like to sell it for 57 cents. And this inspired the congregation, and more than $250,000 was raised, which was a fortune at the turn of the century. And this church was able to grow and build buildings where no one would have to be turned away. And that church is still there today in Philadelphia. They have an auditorium that seats 3,300 people. They have a Christian college, and they have a hospital. All because one little girl, I'm guessing in some childlike faith way, understood the law of the harvest, that you reap more than you sow. So boys and girls, let me ask you as we close this morning, do you really believe that God wants to use your life in great ways? If you do, what steps are you taking today to make sure that you're headed in the direction He wants you to go in? Can I ask it another way? Are there any choices you're making right now, boys and girls and teenagers? Are there any choices that you're making right now that might bring a bad harvest into your life later on? Maybe they seem like small things. But could I encourage you this week to just maybe spend some time talking to God about that and saying, God, what steps do you want me to take this week to begin making better choices to ensure a good harvest later on in my life? You know, I came close today to bringing just a typical message you might expect in a parent-child service about parents raising your kids and children, you know, all that stuff. I just really felt impressed that we needed to pull back a little bit further and talk about these underlying principles of life. And I hope not only for the children today, but I hope for us adults as well. This has been a reminder for us of the importance of sowing right things and reaping a good harvest. Let's pray. Boys and girls, as you sit here this morning and you've heard the things we've talked about, if God is bringing anything to your mind right in this moment where we're just quiet, if God's bringing anything to your mind of any area of your life where you know, if you were honest, you would say that you're making bad choices. And you've heard the truth today that one day harvest time is coming for you. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard, and it is. God has promised you not an easy life, not a trouble-free life. That's not true for any of us. But God has promised you His peace and His joy and His blessings and His benefits on your life if you choose to sow the right things today. And maybe as you sit here right now and as we sing a few songs, maybe you just want to say, God, I've been making some wrong choices, and I want you to help me start to make the right choices. And God, use my life in great ways. You pray that, and He will. Father, I just ask that you would take this simple word this morning, a simple word that actually contains a profound truth from your word. Help us to remember, Lord, that you've given us the choice of the kind of life we're going to sow. I pray that each of us here today would be committed to sowing the right things, not just for our benefit, but for the benefit of your kingdom, that our lives could be used for you to multiply your kingdom and spread your truth and your love in this world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If today's message has been an encouragement to you, would you consider partnering with this ministry to help reach more people with a life-changing message of Jesus Christ? Your financial gift would be a direct investment in changing lives for eternity by allowing us to continue spreading the gospel to people around the world. If God enables you to give, just visit our website at lifepointsc.org and click the online giving button. If you prefer to contact us by letter, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Thanks again for listening and for your investment in the mission of Christ. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.
So come back to the light, to the love you will find. It's been here all along. So come back to the start and you'll find in your heart that you always belonged. So come back to the light.